school districts are showing increasing interest in what's happening with children before age 5. And the Illinois Prairie Community Foundation Women to Women Group has sponsored surveys of what is available and what isn't. Lauren Neitzel and Allie Franson are first-year graduate students in social work at Illinois State University. They'll be presenting their findings on early childhood intervention tomorrow. In this interview with GLT's Charlie Schlenker, Neitzel says research confirms the value of promoting school readiness and the well-being of the child and the family setting.
So school readiness really is about getting the child ready for school. So that can be physical health. So a lot of early education intervention, like Head Start, early Head Start, focuses a lot on getting providing the child too with like nutrition and things like that, developmental and health screenings, but also too in the social domain, you know, having them get used to starting school, making friends, things like that. And then also on the cognitive domain, a lot of services, especially I know a lot more about Head Start and early Head Start compared to the other early intervention services, but they provide screenings, you know, looking at cognitive delays. So they really range from cognitive to social to behavior, any of those, trying to get the child ready to start school.
Allie, unpack a little bit more of the research that you've done.
We have focused on a lot of the social and economic benefits. Economically, we've found in research that the community will gain between $7 and $16 back for every dollar put into these services. It's very cost effective.
So in the long run, it actually saves the government, it saves everyone more money, because we are investing in these children at a young age when they are very cognitively vulnerable. So starting and having these interventions from 0 to 5 starts them off at a good start, and in the long run saves the community, saves the state, saves the federal government a lot of money, because it is investing in their education, which they're less likely to go to prison, to rely on social welfare and things like that.
How do you estimate the dollar return? Over what time?
So that actually is a thing we are going to be focusing on at the forum. There are a lot of cross-sectional, so like one-time deal research on early intervention in education. So it's looking at a specific time, a lot on the social and economic benefits. So what we are a lot of research is saying that there needs to be more longitudinal studies that show these economic benefits. The ones that we are referencing, the $714 for every child that is an early education intervention, is estimated on a Chicago longitudinal study that was done in the 90s. So there is a research gap about longitudinal studies and the economic benefits. So at our forum, we have a few different solutions on how for educators, school districts, and everything to go about this. And one of them is that we need to do longitudinal studies, not only on the social and mental health of the children and those benefits, but also, too, on the economic benefits. But there's not a ton of research that shows the economic benefit.
After a pilot is accomplished, what are the challenges to making such a service sustainable and repeatable over a period of years?
I think definitely it's going to be funding, because it's not a cheap thing to do, but it is worth it. So it's going to be a learning process through that pilot program, and the fine details can get worked out as that first year is going on. But it's definitely going to be the funding aspect of it, but that is where grants can come in.
I know, especially like just education about early intervention services, like we said, we're going to be mainly focusing on like educating the public, but also too, because mental health is such a big thing in the schools right now. We found statistics that 14 to 20% of school age children do have a behavior or emotional disorder. At this time, the mental health workers in the school are so low compared to the amount of children. Specifically, in some of the Chicago districts, there is about maybe one school social worker for like 1,000, 2,000 kids. And the National Association of Social Work recommends that there be one school social worker for for 250 children. So that is a huge thing. But also, too, is I think there just needs to be, in general, more education about what constitutes mental health, just because disproportionately, especially minority children, are being put into special education three times compared to their white counterparts. And that is a huge thing because a lot of them are receiving services for special education and they are not needing special education. So we are finding, especially in these school districts, there are a large amount of special education classrooms, and there doesn't need to be.
They need a different kind of service.
Yes. And educating too, not only in the schools, but also to other social service agencies. I found a lot of research that a lot of child welfare workers, they are having a hard time identifying early childhood mental health disorders. And when they do identify it, they don't know where to send these children. Not just in this community, but nationally, there needs to be more education about mental health and specifically early education intervention services, because that is the way out. That is the way to provide children an opportunity to thrive and to be less likely to have these mental, emotional, and behavioral disorders later on. And with more education and intervention services, the amount of children in special education classrooms will decrease.
Allie Franson, Laura Neitzel, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.
The Women to Women Giving Circle will host a public forum about ensuring school children are prepared to learn. The forum is tomorrow from 4:30 to 6 p.m. at the ISU Alumni Center. Women to Women started in 2009 when women in four counties decided to pool money and focus on women's issues. 100 people contributed $3,000 apiece, and the group uses the interest to fund grants. You're listening to Sound Ideas on GLT and WGLT.org.